part of my interest in joining a multidisciplinary orthopedic group was that throughout my training, I recognized that as a physiatrist, there is really a tremendous added value that we can provide in augmenting patient care and helping a patient to achieve an ideal outcome. In many cases, surgical intervention can be helpful, but in some cases, there are some non-surgical measures that can really provide significant benefit and avoid a potentially major surgical undertaking with significant side effects and risks and potential complications. A good example of this is a patient that may have a massive disc herniation. Let's say, for example, at L4-5, that's a far lateral disc herniation compressing the L4 nerve root. I've seen many cases in which these patients will present and they have neurologic deficits that are quite subtle with a slightly diminished patellar reflex, some fibrillations in the quad, some slight marginal development of weakness in the quadricep and other L4 myotomal regions, and some sensory deficits in the anterior thigh also. But in addition to those physical exam findings and the imaging study correlating with everything that I just mentioned, there's a significant hip flexion and internal rotation pain, which indicates, as most of us know, that there's likely a hip etiology to some of the discomfort, at least, that the patient's experiencing, especially if this was a case that had trauma associated with it initially, such as a motor vehicle collision. I think that if a patient like this jumped into a discectomy right away, although it's certainly reasonable, especially in the case of a neurologic deficit involving the quad, which, as we all know, is a critical muscle for ambulation, there's a chance that this patient might not have an ideal outcome unless the hip issue is addressed as well. So one of the things as physiatrists we can do is counsel the patient on all the non-surgical issues that perhaps need to be considered prior to jumping into surgery, whether that surgery is going to be, let's say, an arthroscopic hip surgery for a labral tear, or in fact a discectomy or microdiscectomy to treat them for the radicular pain that they developed as a result of the finding on their MRI. That may not be the best example because it may not be that arguable that a patient that has a neurologic deficit involving the quad should go to surgery quite quickly. But there's a role for an electrodiagnostic study. As physiatrists, we are all trained and required during our residency to do hundreds of electrodiagnostic studies. And there's definitely a role for an electrodiagnostic study in a case in which presentation, like I just mentioned, that let's say had been present for at least 3 weeks. As we know, electrodiagnostic studies are really not that valuable prior to 3 weeks of discomfort. If this patient had a neurologic deficit that was stable, and let's say a fluoroscopically guided intra-articular hip injection with arthrogram prior to an MRI revealed that they do in fact have a subtle labral tear, and they're not a candidate for a total hip replacement, but their most provocative physical examination maneuver is not positive dural tension signs such as straight leg raise or sitting root sign, but actually in fact the hip flexion and internal rotation maneuver, perhaps that patient really should have an intra-articular fluoroscopically guided glucocorticoid injection prior to jumping into any other surgical undertakings. But depending on the findings of the EMG, if the EMG reveals positive sharp waves and fibrillations in the L4 muscle groups, then certainly considering an L4 nerve block initially might make some sense because as most of us know, there is literature by Tanaka and others showing that the bigger and juicier the disc herniation and possibly the more the orthopedic or neurosurgeon salivates based on the imaging study appearance, the greater the likelihood that the patient will have resorption of that big disc herniation. So my point is that there's a role that we can play as an interventional physiatrist, and that's just one brief example I thought I would give you. I think that my personal belief is that there is a real value to the multidisciplinary approach to spine care. I think that's all I really have for you this morning. Thanks for your time.